The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, welcome. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I am your host, Misty Young. It's an awesome day here at the Ocean Mist Power Hour because today is December 10th, 2019. Woohoo! Whoop, whoop! We are like 21 days away from the beginning of a brand new year. That means you have 21 days left to do great things in your life, to set yourself up for success, not in the new year, but today, right now. What are you doing today, right now, that's going to make your life better in the future? Because you know what? As far as I'm concerned, what we do now matters. What we do in the moment matters. What we do every day matters more than what we do once in a while, right? Because what we do once in a while, it comes and goes, but what we do every single day matters. So back to the Ocean Mist Power Hour right here on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or any time of day, anywhere in the world on our podcast. Welcome. We're broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. It's so beautiful here. This is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. It is not as far west as you can get because that would be up at Cape Blanco near Port Orford. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you're ever going to meet. I promise that's true. In fact, I'm going to introduce you to a special guest today, and you will find out how nice the people are here. This place, Brookings Harbor, Oregon, is the place where the mountains and the old-growth redwoods meet the sea. Harbor Brookings is home to me. Before we get started today, I'd like to thank all of the fabulously talented people in the background, from our sound engineering and production crew and those folks that raise money and do our website and do our social media. Thank you to the KCIW team for helping make this little station the station that could, the station that did. Now, of course, I'm going to talk about health today. You know I'm not a doctor. You know I'm not a scientist. You know I'm a nutrition nerd. I read all this stuff. I assimilate it all. I help bring it to you because I'm passionate about it, because I'm interested in it. I happen to hold a certificate as a nutritional therapist from the Health Sciences Academy, and even more importantly, a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Wow, that's a lot, right? There's a lot going on there. Now, today we're going to talk about my all-time favorite subject, which is health and nutrition. And I've got a whole lot of information to share with you. I'm going to start out today by talking about something called Veganuary. Veganuary, 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 Veganuary. How do you spell that? V-E-G-A-N-U-A-R-Y, Veganuary. And this year it's going to be Veganuary 2020. What is Veganuary? Well, a lot of people sort of set things aside in January. They think, well, you know, I just gained 12 pounds during the holidays. Remember, we talked about that last week, how people tend to gain weight beginning around Halloween. And then they just like, well, I already gained 3 pounds. I might as well go off. And then all of a sudden there's Thanksgiving and then there's 4 more pounds. And then, oh, it's the holidays, it's Christmas. And bam, January comes and a lot of people say, gee, I think I won't drink this month. Or gosh, maybe I'll give up sugar. Or gee, how about if you began January as a vegan January, aka Veganuary? So what do you know about going vegan? Well, here's something interesting. Almost every vegan in the whole world, before they went vegan, said this quote. Almost every single one of them said, I could never go vegan. What does it mean to go vegan? Well, let me introduce you to my special guest today. We'll ask our special guest, what does it mean to go vegan? Now, before I introduce you, let me kind of set this up, because you know the Ocean Mist Power Hour is primarily me blabbing on and on and on about things healthy and normal for me. But are there other people that think these things are healthy and normal to be vegan? What does vegan mean? We're going to ask our guest. We're also training this guest. This guest is learning about how to do a radio show. Now, look, you've been with me for quite a while now. If this is your first time you've ever checked in on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, welcome. If it's not, if you've been with us for a while, I believe this is episode number 39. And that means we've been doing this for 39 weeks. On week one, I was brand new at doing this. Now, I had never done radio before. I've scripted radio. I've assisted the attorney general when she used to do radio. I assisted the governor, the U.S. senator. You guys know I got this long background in politics, but I was never the radio person. Watched it happen, was part of it a lot. So I kind of had a sense of it, but I dig it. I always thought it was really fun. So when I came in here 39 weeks ago, I came in as a brand new person, never having done it before. And the person who's with us today has a similar background. I don't believe she's ever done any kind of radio before. She's a terrific public speaker. She also happens to be a nurse, a vegan, a whole food, plant-based cook, and she just does amazing things. Please help me welcome Sherry Carey Baum. Hey, hi. Sherry. Hi.
Hey, Misty. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited.
Me too. I'm so excited. I'm so glad you're here. It's amazing because we geek out together.
Oh, we do. Oh, we do.
We totally do. It's so weird. So when I say Veganuary, you're like, yeah, duh. And what does it mean? I'm curious. First of all, did you ever say that? The quote that I said earlier, I could never go vegan. Did you ever believe that in your mind?
Actually, I did not.
No.
I have played with being a vegan probably since I was about 17. But it's the same thing with life. Life takes over, and it's really hard to cook for a family when you're the only one that chooses not to eat animal products.
Yep.
So I've gone in and out of veganism for probably 30, 40 years, and finally, after about 15 years, said, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't cook different meals for different family members. They are very patient with me. My husband, he calls himself an opportunistic vegan. And what that
awesome.
Means,
what does that
isn't
mean?
That a cool term?
Yes.
That means that he only eats meat at restaurants or when we go out. At
okay.
home, we're vegan.
Okay.
But, and, you know, that's really hard for people to do in their house. You have to remember, this is a process. And for people to expect to suddenly the next day choose not to eat animal products or meat, it's a little bit overwhelming. So the fact that my husband's been doing this for a while has really progressed into his lifestyle also. And he very rarely eats meat and he feels better. I can brag about his cholesterol and his blood pressure. The guy's 69 and his blood pressure is 116 over, I think it was 60
wow.
about a week ago.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
God, that's awesome.
With normal cholesterol, no medicine. So the benefit helps him. He's getting responses to what he's doing. He's getting positive reinforcement to what he's doing because it's showing in his
health. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's so important, the feedback mechanism, right? That loop. So if you have sort of a baseline, a starting point, and maybe for some people, like his baseline starting point wasn't, I'm sick, I have cancer, I have diabetes, I have, you know, dementia, I have whatever,
exactly.
all these illnesses. He didn't have one of those chronic illnesses at the outset. But even just going in and giving some blood and finding out what's your cholesterol, doing your blood pressure work, then being able to chart those numbers as you go gives you the feedback that you need.
Yeah. The positive reinforcement. And it makes you feel good. I mean, he's so proud. When he was at the doctor's, I get a text that says, woohoo, look at my blood pressure.
That's awesome.
And he's trying to claim that he thinks it's less than mine, but I beg to differ. No.
Well, you know, some of the time, you can just take these matters into your own hands, right? Like, you can't just give yourself a blood test and go like, what's my cholesterol? What's my VLDL? You know, what are my percentages? But you can check your blood pressure.
Absolutely.
Any day of the week. You can walk into Fred Meyer, which I do a lot. Gary's always looking at me like, are you really going to go do that again? I'm like, yes, I am. And I get excited because I want to go in and see the number. And what did you call it? A positive reinforcement.
Yeah, it's positive reinforcement. But when we go back to your original question, I get distracted easily, so I apologize.
Me too.
But the original question is, what is veganism? And veganism is basically not eating animal products. And there's a multitude of reasons. You can say, I'm a vegan because I want better health.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I'm a vegan because I want to help animals, because we all know, I mean, we all know, that animals are being hurt, tortured, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And you're eating that meat after it's been tortured.
Yep.
The third one is our environment.
Yes.
It's really going to help with pollution, global warming, the whole gamut, our water supplies. So being a vegan, there's pick your reason. It can be all three, like for me, and I know for you also.
Mm-hmm.
But to pick a reason, it helps you to not feel like you're giving something up quite as bad.
I like that you can pick a reason. You know, you really can. You can pick your reason for going vegan and the idea of no animal products. So what exactly does that mean? Does that mean, because I mean, I in my mind, it's just, it's so clear. Vegan means no animal product, no animal protein, meat, no liquid meat. And when you know, liquid meat is butter, cheese, sour cream, ice cream, milk, eggs, all those things. So meat or liquid meat. What is it about casein, the protein in milk, or the protein in meat that's not healthy? Because now I'm asking you as a nurse, so I'm asking you to like go into your medical training and why, you know, we've been told our whole lives, milk does the body good. You need protein to have a strong body. Why don't we need that? Why is that message wrong? What's wrong with it?
Well, the first message we have to get across for people who are considering being a vegan is the fact that there's protein in every plant that you eat. So there is nobody in the United States that is protein deficient. Mm-hmm. As long as they're eating, they're getting protein, whether it's a vegetarian, a vegan, or a meat eater. I hate using that term because it just sounds so much like they're a vampire, but I don't know how else to describe it. There's a lot of the issue with milk as well as meat.
Yes.
We know that it increases our cancer risk. We know that it increases our cholesterol. It's a cholesterol that we're not processing as well, and so we're laying deposits. The heme in meat is, basically
it's an iron
product,
type, right?
Right. Yeah. It's what's in our blood. It's what carries the oxygen. And we know now that it's aggressive and it can, high levels of it can lead to a higher risk of cancer as well. So we're just dealing with a product that's not healthy for us. We shouldn't be eating these products. And if somebody chooses to eat a small amount, great. But know where you're getting it from, too. Because our meat processors using a lot of antibiotics, and we're running into globally antibiotic resistance. There's a lot of fat. There's a lot of cholesterol. There's a lot of pesticides. All of those things that are toxic to our body.
Well, interestingly, you would bring up the antibiotics issue. One of the questions I have is the antibiotics aren't being used on animals to correct some deficiency, right? They're not because there's some illness. What are the antibiotics used for?
Basically to try to prevent contamination.
Prevent contamination and the
And they're butchering.
Yep. And the other thing that I have heard, I'm curious if you know about this too, that the antibiotics also help the animals gain weight faster. They fatten them up.
I have heard that also, yes.
And so I'm kind of curious, you know, if that's true for people too. I mean, I think about, you know, look, there's times when Western medicine says you need an antibiotic and you need it
you
take it and you, boom, you get better. That's true. I think my own gut feeling tells me that Western medicine is right on. You got a broken leg, boom, go get it fixed. You have some massive need for a surgery. I mean, not every surgery is required. You guys remember recently I was talking about gallbladder stuff and I told you I had gallbladder pain and all kinds of stuff. And what did the doctor tell me? Do you remember what the doc said? The doc said, avoid the hospital at all cost. I was across the street from the hospital with the doctor in the exam room. And he said, if you were my wife, I would tell you, avoid the hospital at all costs. So I didn't get my gallbladder taken out, thank God. And I'm curious that, you know, if it's about putting weight on people, you know, we have all these kids who come up through regular modern living and the parents take them to the doctor when they're little kids and they're like, my kid is sick, put them on antibiotics. Like the parents are driving it too without realizing it. Then you start looking at all of these cofactors, whether it's obesity or metabolic syndrome or type 2 diabetes, particularly, all of those things are related, including cancer. All of those things are literally related. And I'm literally not saying, oh, that all stems from antibiotics. But antibiotics are part of that cycle.
I think they're part of the cycle of our health and our body trying to detox them. Because anything you put in your body that's not nurturing your body, your liver has to detox it. Your kidney has to excrete it. So you're putting stress on your whole body. But if you think about the conditions of where animals live.
Oh, God.
The antibiotics are helping to prevent a widespread disease.
Well, they're standing in feces and urine all day long.
Right next to each other.
Right next to each other. And then
they're pinned.
They're pinned in. They're right next to each other. They're in feces and urine the whole time. And it's not like they get some kind of a special shampoo and a bath before they go to slaughter, you know?
Massage them like right. the Kobe beef, right?
Oh, God.
It's your turn to get a massage before we slaughter you.
Oh, my goodness, right.
But
gross.
Going back to the whole process is we have to start taking care of ourselves. And
yes.
one of the best way to take care of ourselves is by giving us food that is nutritious
yes.
and clean.
And clean and nurturing. Something I say on almost every single episode of this program is that every single bite of food we take is either feeding disease or fighting disease.
Right.
And if I knew that I was feeding disease, actually, I do know when I'm feeding disease. And I'm always grossed out, like in the moment. Sherry has been talking to me quite a lot lately about whole foods, plant-based. Because look, you guys all know I struggle with this thing. I still use these processed foods and I'm breaking away. And it isn't easy to break Mm-mm. away from processed foods. It is hard to go whole food, plant-based. And I don't want to tell you that because I don't want you to go, oh, well, you know, Ocean Mist Power Hour said it's too hard, so I have to do it. Yes, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to listen to this show. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to tune out, that's cool too. But if you do tune in and you are here, welcome, because what we're sharing with you is information that can help you live a vibrant, healthy life. Look, if every single bite of food you eat is either feeding disease or fighting disease, don't you want to fight it? Well, I do. And when Sherry's been talking to me over the last few months of our friendship and teaching me about the benefits of whole foods, I'm doing my best to incorporate those into everything I eat. So for instance, this was awesome. Recently, a friend just said out of nowhere, she goes, hey, I have an extra food processor. Do you want it? I'm like, yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, lucky you.
I know. So, I mean, anytime some gadget or gizmo finds its way my way, I find a way to incorporate it into my kitchen. So I'm going to admit my sins to you, Sherry, right now.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell you, you already know I love salads.
Yep.
And you know I love fatty salad dressings.
Yep.
And you've been so kind to start teaching me how to make new kinds of salad dressings.
Without oil.
Without oil. That's right.
So or this chemicals. Chemicals.
I know. Or without chemicals. So this has been really exciting. So first of all, I got the new food processor and I've been putting Brussels sprouts into my salads. I've been slicing oh. them into like tiny itty bitty little slices, like shredding. I've
shredding.
Been shredding them and throwing
Delicious.
Them in the salad. And they're raw that way, which
yep.
I think is pretty darn healthy. And then I made a salad dressing. I knew you'd be so proud of me. I was so excited. I used cashews, not too many.
Okay.
So I soaked them for a little while. Then I drained them. And then I ran them through with just some basic spices. Like I had dried onions and some garlic. I kind of made like a ranch out of
right.
them.
Right. You made your own ranch.
I made my own
whole
ranch.
Foods.
Yes. And I put, so it was cashews, almond milk, and spices, and I ran it through my Vitamix.
Oh, yum.
It was so good. It was creamy and yummy, yep. and there it was all over
yep.
the salad with grated carrots and grated Brussels sprouts, and I know, I just prefer iceberg lettuce. It's true. I do. There's a lot
it's
of water in it.
It's good fiber. It's good water.
Yeah.
It fills you up, because when you're talking about losing weight and eating a healthy food.
Yes.
The most wonderful thing, which is what you're doing with
yes.
the Brussels sprouts. By the way, Brussels sprouts help to prevent cancer.
Love
so Brussels sprouts
I love
are
how
one
you
of the
know.
Best things
I
for
love
you.
How you know the little details of the foods. Okay, so Brussels
that's
sprouts.
That's because my poor husband and I, that's all we watch on TV. Is food
guys,
information. I love it.
You guys are
it.
Just like us. Oh, my
but
God.
But what it has is volume. So that when you eat that wonderful salad that has all that nourishing things and that little bit of fat from the cashew is going to satisfy you. Once you're satisfied, you're not going to continue to eat. Because how many times have we eaten food that's kind of processed and just doesn't make you feel good and you go back into the kitchen to find something else?
Yes.
When you're eating what we call high density food or food that has a lot of fiber and a lot of nutrients, you're filling up your stomach. And you're not still hungry in an hour. If you look at diagrams of calories per density, so olive oil, which, you know, olive oil is a processed food. You can argue with me as much as you want. And the reason I say that is not because Misty argues with me, but people argue with me all the time. If you don't have oil, your brain's not going to work. Well, let me tell you, I get enough oil out of whole foods.
Right.
So olive oil, a tablespoon is about 120 calories.
Wow.
Yours,
and look how tiny it is. It's a tiny little thing. It doesn't fill you up or satisfy
at
you.
At all. And
yeah.
it doesn't give your body anything. I mean, it's giving you oil. Whereas what you just described to me, your carrots, your iceberg lettuce, and your Brussels sprouts, And that was probably a giant, beautiful bowl that
gorgeous.
Makes your mouth water,
yes.
makes my mouth water
yes.
now, actually. Fills up your stomach.
Yes.
You're full, you're satiated, because we all know how we feel full is by the stretching of our stomachs.
Right.
So if you've just filled up that small space with this beautiful salad, no fatty oils, you're happy, you're satisfied. You're not going back for that ice cream or that donut or potato chips after you've already eaten. And you're going to start to lose weight. You're going to start to feel better because you've just nourished your body with all kinds of vitamins, all kinds of fiber, all kinds of water.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's kind of a no-brainer, which is mean. Because when I say that, you know, this is my hobby, this is my life, I've taught patients how to do this, encourage patients how to do this. So it's not fair for me to say that. What I have to say is you learn once you have the information and then you play with your food. You have to, just like you did with your salad dressing, you played with your food. You put in some cashews.
Yes.
Cashews have great protein. They have the kind of fat that your body can use and can supply your brain, because we all know your brain needs fat, but it doesn't need concentrated processed fat. Nuts, avocados. So you've played with your food. You've made a wonderful salad dressing. You taste it. You go, yep, this fits for me.
It's so good.
It tastes delicious.
I made a burger sauce out of, So you also had taught me some while ago. You said, oh yeah, I make my own mayonnaise. And totally mind was blown. I was like, what? You know, like I was buying veganaise, which I felt all happy about it. It's like, oh, it's veganaise. And I think I showed it to you one day. You're like, dude, it's pure fat. I was
look
like,
at the
what?
Label.
Yeah,
read
look
your
at the label.
Labels.
Right. And it's sort of like veganaise. It tastes great. It tastes just like mayonnaise. But the first ingredient is like something like whipped canola oil or whipped olive
oil
or whatever it is.
It's
just oil. So you had told me that you made your own mayonnaise. So I made some mayonnaise. It was very good.
Yeah.
And I used cashews to make it.
Yep.
I didn't use as much. I don't think I used any almond milk in this one. I think I just used water, very low amount of water. And then this is going to sound so weird, but I put a little tiny bit of ketchup in it. So I was trying to make a burger sauce.
Yep.
And then I chopped up some dill pickles and threw those in
it. Delicious.
Yes. And I'm telling you what, this is the part that makes me feel really good. The grandkids dug it. They dug
Yahoo.
It. They really loved it. I was all stoked up. So I made some burgers and, you know, I'm using... Oh, I don't want to admit it, but Beyond Beef, I was using those Beyond Beef burgers. You know, it's still a processed food. In my mind, I'm like, well, I'm still doing my best. And I am. And you guys, this is the part I want to encourage our listeners to hear. Look, you can go vegan and not be a freak about it. In fact, Gary and I used to say for a long time, we'd say, look, we're vegan, not freegan. So I'm not freaking out about it. Do I want that high amount of fat that's in all those other products? I don't. I'm weaning myself off slowly. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I like the Goodwill. I went to Goodwill.
Everybody
loves Goodwill, especially our Goodwill here. It's such a good one.
And they're so nice.
They're so nice. Every single person, when you walk in the door, it says, hello, welcome, you know. So I went to the secondhand store and I found a George Foreman grill, and it was in pristine condition. Absolutely perfect. So I've been cooking the burgers on that, and all the fat comes out of them. No, they're not as juicy, but that means they're not as fatty.
Right.
And then I'm putting this cashew mayonnaise on them, and they're so good.
Can I tell you a trick about the cashew mayonnaise?
Yes.
So if you're trying to lose weight, we all know that cashews taste delicious.
Yes.
They're creamy. They are high fat.
High fat.
So if you're worried about weight, cut your cashews in half and steam some cauliflower and add steamed cauliflower. And
what? Into your salad dressings or your mayonnaise?
Yes.
Wow.
And so you have less calories. You have the benefit because, again, cauliflower, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, they're all the same family that's so good for you as an anti-cancer.
Yes.
So you just steam it and then put it in with your mayonnaise half and half, and then you've cut your calories in half with
the cashews. Gosh, that is a great idea. And I know I've done mashed potatoes before with half cauliflower, and I just sneak it right in. The kids never even know that I've done it
never
to them.
That with mac and cheese.
Yes.
So
the cheese sauce.
You use the cashew to make your cheese sauce, but cut it in half with the steamed cauliflower.
I want to try that. So I want to try your mac and cheese so bad.
I love my mac and cheese.
I know. So your sauce, the sauce, the cheese sauce, you use carrots, potatoes, cauliflower, nutritional yeast?
No. I have a recipe where I use cashews, cauliflower, nutritional yeast, because that's where you get your vitamin B12. Because we have to go back to, if you're going to be a vegan, don't forget you do need vitamin B12.
Yes.
But you know what I'm finding out is it's not just vegans that are needing it. Meat eaters are too.
Yeah.
Because
The
antibiotics and the animals are being fed soy and they're being fed wheat and it's all sterile. Right? When it's processed, picked, it's sterile. Yeah. So they're not getting that vitamin B12. Because believe it or not, B12 comes from the earth. It's a bacteria that we get from food that has been grown in the dirt. And that's where the animals used to get it. Animals don't make their own B12 either.
They get it out of the dirt.
And but they're not getting
the
dirt
get
anymore. So now studies are showing that even non-vegans are B12 low. And B12 you need for your neurological system, for your brain to work well and your nerve system to work well. But to get back to the vegan cheese, it's nutritional yeast, cashews, cauliflower. I add in, because everybody likes the right color.
Yes.
It's got to be the right color.
Yes.
So I add in roasted red bell peppers. And between the nutritional yeast and bell pepper, it makes it look kind of like American cheese.
Oh, I totally want. So and when is dinner at your house?
And I add jalapenos. So
no,
it's like.
Oh, God, that sounds so good.
But then it's just onion salt, garlic salt, and then some kind of an acid. There's a vegan lactic acid that you can get made from beets, or you can just add a little bit of lemon for that taste.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Oh,
and
my
salt
gosh.
To taste.
I love it. And so for those of you, you know, saying, well, I don't have nutritional yeast, it's really easy to find. It's everywhere.
Freddie has
it. You can get it at any grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you go to the bulk section, it's pretty inexpensive.
It is.
And
it goes a long way. And on popcorn, it's amazing on popcorn.
I know. You told me about a recipe for popcorn. I made it last night. I'm not going to say that the kids loved it. They ate it, but they were like,
we want butter.
They did. They were like, Gaga, could you make another bowl of popcorn? And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, wow, great. They ate all the popcorn. And I said, of course. And I turned around and there's like half the bowl there. I'm like, no, I'm not making more popcorn. Because the recipe is like you air pop your popcorn and then you put a little bit of soy sauce. I used a spray bottle, a little bit of soy sauce on it. And then, did you tell me about the soy sauce? And then the nutritional yeast. I told the kids it was called sticky cheesy popcorn.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't like the sticky cheesy popcorn. I felt like saying, line up for your whippings, you know? You will be vegan. Actually, they're vegan and they're mostly gluten-free they're at our house. Yeah.
Yep.
One of my granddaughters is definitely experiencing gluten issues. So pretty much, if one's gluten-free, they're all gluten-free, you know, just because it's easier. I tell them that. I'm like, I'm not running a restaurant here, you know, I'm not doing it. So back to this idea of Veganuary, I want to tell you some of the hashtags that are related. Now, I'm looking on Instagram, and I want to encourage you, if you have any interest at all in vegan living, it's really easy to learn a lot really quick through social media. So if you were to go out on Twitter, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, but if you went on Facebook, or particularly if you go onto Instagram or Pinterest, and just type in hashtag vegan. So you know what a hashtag is? It's that little, what the old people used to call it, pound sign, right? Right, so hashtag vegan. Here's some other vegan hashtags that are good. Vegan vibes, hashtag vegan for the planet, hashtag veganuary, hashtag vegans of Instagram, hashtag vegan activist, or hashtag vegans. I'm going to read a few memes that I like with quotes from veganuary, hashtag veganuary 2020. If you're just joining us on KCIW 100.7 on your radio dial, welcome. And anywhere in the world, any time of day on the podcast, we're glad to have you here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. And KCIW is Curry Coast Community Radio, broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon. Now, Joaquin Phoenix. Loved Joaquin Phoenix in the old school movie Parenthood.
Oh my, yes.
He was so cute. He was that little boy, Gary. He was all nervous. Of course, I loved him because my husband's name is Gary. I love what you said a few minutes ago, Sherry, that you could choose to go vegan for a number of reasons. Your health, for the animals, for the climate. I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons to do it, but
there's
this is a great quote that Joaquin Phoenix says. He says, if you look at the climate crisis or the violence of our food system and feel helpless thinking, I wish there was something I could do. You can, right now. Sign up to try vegan this January. Isn't that interesting? So you can do something right now. You can do it for your health. You can do it for the planet. You can do it for the animals. Now, Marianne Frost says, going vegan, her quote is, you don't have to compromise on anything, not on taste, not on makeup or fashion. You don't. I mean, there's all.
You don't.
You don't have to. You don't. You don't have to. So what Veganuary is more than just a pledge. Throughout the year, we encourage, this comes from Veganalysis, so Veganalysis on Instagram. They say throughout the year, we encourage and support people and businesses alike to move to a plant-based diet as a way of protecting the environment, preventing animal suffering, and improving the health of millions of people. Two more quotes. This comes from Natalie Portman. She is so beautiful. She says, 3 times a day, I remind myself that I value life and do not want to cause pain to others or kill living beings. That is why I eat the way I do. And finally, Billie Eilish says, they're making room so they can have cattle farms, raise cows, abuse them, kill them, put them on your plate, and then you take one bite and walk away. Ew.
Harsh.
Yeah, it is harsh. But you know what? We don't have to do it. We can choose life. We can choose vibrance. We can choose leaping over limping. We can choose being able to move freely and love without this burden of baggage in our past, the burden of baggage that says someone had to die for your taste buds. Now, I know that sounds a little extreme, doesn't it? It sounds
not
extreme.
Not really.
Not really. But it's true. I mean,
it
I'm just
true.
Trying to be really frank here and really true. Did you guys know that fish feel pain? I know. This is like, oh my God, here comes the vegan message. Yeah, it's really true. It's really true. Here's a meme I want you to think about. There's a guy at the podium and the question says, who wants to save animals? And every hand in the audience is up. And then a guy at the podium says, who wants to go vegan? And every single hand is down.
Ooh.
Right? Ooh. And the last meme I'll tell you about is one I saw yesterday. It was a very sick looking man. Very sick looking man. He was like just this obese, morbidly obese man sort of laying in a bed. And he says, vegan? The question mark. Vegan? Go vegan? Nah, doc. Just give me the pill and I'll wait to die. Like, that's just sad.
Oh, that's sad.
That's the standard American diet.
Oh, and you do know what standard American diet, the acronym is.
I do.
Right?
It
sad.
Is sad. It's really sad.
That's what it stands for. Sad.
Yeah.
Standard American diet.
Yeah. It's hard.
Well, and what people don't realize is, do you really want to exchange burgers and fries and milkshakes for an extra year of your life? Moving, playing, active, getting on your hands and knees and playing with grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when your body is healthy and you have energy, you want to live your life.
Yes. I agree with you. You know, is it worth it? Is the trade-off worth it? And you know, when you think about, oh, it might be an extra year of life. And I've actually had people say like, well, I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy my life. Like,
exactly.
Right. But then they follow up with, so I want to eat potato chips and I want to eat burgers.
Okay.
And I love grilled cheese sandwiches. Okay. I would say just be accountable for your decision. Just
right.
be accountable for your decision. Those things cause heart disease. That's the number one killer of men and women, heart disease.
Absolutely.
Cancer is not far behind. Dementia yep. is not far behind that. Diabetes, metabolic syndrome, obesity, morbid obesity. These are the things that are killing people. In fact, I was having a conversation with my dad the other day, and he said to me, it was the first time he really, I think, really carefully listened to what I was saying about vegan living. And he said, well, if what you're saying is true.
Like you would be lying to him.
Right, like I would be lying to him. But he said, if what you're saying is true, then we would see a whole lot of sick kids. Why aren't the kids sick?
Oh,
I said,
oh,
Dad.
Oh, we do.
I know.
Diabetes, type 2 diabetes used to be an adult
right.
Disease.
It
it's
used
no
to be called adult
onset
diabetes, but they had to change the name of it.
And obesity. I mean, us growing up, we're a bit older.
Yes.
Not going to tell you
right.
how much. You have to guess. Maybe it's like jelly beans in a jar. You have to
right.
figure out how many years
right.
I've got in that jelly bean jar. But when I was growing up, nobody had anything but type 1 diabetes.
And that was rare.
And obesity, that
right.
that was not an issue
not
with our generation.
No.
And unfortunately, I think we're up to about 30 to 40%
yep.
of
juveniles.
All of America
oh, yeah.
being obese and 30 percent of children being obese and not moving and not exercising. So we're seeing diseases in young people. Because of our American diet, I know that there's been studies, and this is older, but you have to think, most people are eating some kind of an animal product three times a day. And in the Vietnam War, when they were bringing home our soldiers, they were doing autopsies, and they were finding blood vessels that were...
Heart disease,
blood vessels that had a lot of cholesterol, clogs,
fatty streaks
already. Mm-hmm. And these young men were between, what, 18 and 25?
Yeah.
So we know it's not a diet for health. We absolutely know that. And we know that it's affecting younger people. I was worked with women and was a midwife during my career. And I would tell women that this is the time to change your diet. Because the generation coming up now, their children, the ones they're going to be giving birth to, are not going to be living as long as we have. And they're not going to be living as well as we are. Because they're really having a diet of processed high-fat food, period. And we can't get around that unless we acknowledge it and then we want to make a change.
We have to make a change. If we as a society, as a civilization, as a people... want to continue to live and prosper, we have to get away from red and yellow and green and orange plastic wrapped foods.
Oh, please.
You know, it is, I mean, the plastic alone is horrible, but the foods, I mean, so on Instagram, this is a little bit of, you know, this is a little bit of ranting here for a second. I'm going to rant. Here we go. You know, I follow these accounts on Instagram that are all about organization, household organization, and you know, kind of keeping a tidy place.
Right.
And while I love that, I love having tidiness. All these youngish people that are in this organization business, they go into the pantries of people and they take out all the products and they put them all in these plastic bins and then they put labels on them. So first of all, I mean, I'm always in there commenting just one word sentences, but it just says all period, that period, plastic. Like, oh my God, all that plastic. Yeah. But even more important, when I look into their cabinets, these are just average American cabinets. The labels are cereal, pasta, snacks, breakfast, and nothing in those clear plastic bins looks like food.
No.
Nothing. There's no food in there. There's no color in there. It's all these bland, processed things that are supposed to appear to be food, but they're not. I mean, chips aren't food. I'm not saying I don't eat chips. I do once in a while. They're horrible. They got to be the most calorie intense and nutrient.
They're my weakness.
No,
so,
God, I know.
They're my weakness. I can't have them in the house. I can't look at them.
I can't have them in the house either.
I can't eat one tooth.
No.
So
yeah,
they're nowhere near me.
That's really how it starts, isn't it? You have to control what's in your immediate environment. If you want to control what happens in, I'm pounding
in
on my
body.
Chest here, on
Absolutely.
My body. That's right. Talk a little bit about that. What's your number one strategy? When you're helping someone make a change, what's the first thing you help them do?
First, it's giving them confidence that they can do this. Because I want you to, it sounds completely overwhelming.
Yes.
But we can come up with meals. They're delicious. I mean, the food that we eat at my house, it's delicious. There's no question about it. I overeat just because I like my food so
And
much.
I hate to tell you this, but she's skinny, like super skinny. I don't hate to tell you that. I'm happy to tell you that because I want you to know it's not about being super skinny. It's about being healthy.
Yeah. And being able to move.
Yes.
Being able to move at 60.
Easily, yes.
So the first thing you have to do is think about what you want to eat and then what are your tastes. For example, we eat oatmeal every day because I love oatmeal. Do I love the actual oatmeal? Heck no, but I love the cup of blueberries on top or the cup of cranberries with apples diced up and cooked into the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about what you love and then how can you make it your own?
You think about what you love and you make it healthy, make it your own for you.
So when we talk about coming up with recipes, the internet is a wonderful place to go.
Oh, it's so fabulous.
So you type in, I want vegan mac and cheese. And you look at a recipe, and then you play with your food.
Nice.
Just like I do with the cauliflower.
Yes.
It's a very bland taste. So whatever I add it to is going to give you more volume, more density, you're going to get fuller, you're going to be happier because you've eaten your food and it tastes delicious, but you don't have empty calories. So think about what you want. Look at the recipes. Is it too hard? Does the mac and cheese sound too hard? Well, then let's come up with some rice and beans and maybe a wonderful salad dressing like you had. The yes. salad dressing that you made with just cashews yes. and seasoning and water.
Yes.
Delicious. Add a little
so
peanut
good.
Butter, add a little soy sauce,
oh,
and then put that
maybe.
On and tahini mm-hmm. and put that on black beans and rice. Throw in your carrots and your Brussels sprouts, and you have a beautiful bowl that everybody's going to want to taste.
People talk about eating the colors of the rainbow.
Absolutely. The well, more colors.
Yeah. Why? Why? I mean, why does that matter? And cauliflower is white. So what's up with that?
I know. We've been tricked. Cauliflower is actually very good for you. You just want to have a variety of food. Any food that grows is actually getting nutrients as it's growing, and it's passing those nutrients on to you. So anything from spinach to kale, cauliflower, broccoli, zucchini. I love potatoes.
Oh gosh, right?
And I am not afraid of a potato. Give me a potato. Just don't put the butter, don't put the cheese, don't put all the fattening things on it. My favorite thing at one of our local restaurants, I go in there and I get their dry baked potato. I add grilled pineapple,
nice.
Grilled jalapeno,
ooh.
And then what else do I, oh, they have some wonderful salsas, and that's my meal.
Oh,
and
yeah, big
delicious.
Old potato
it's
with veggies and fruit
eat
grilled.
Eat the skin.
And, uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Make sure you
skin.
Eat the skin because yes. the skin has so many nutrients and vitamins. Delicious. And a great big side salad, and I've just had my whole food plant-based diet in a local restaurant.
In a local restaurant. I have been known to make my own salad dressings and take them in my
sure.
purse, just pack them with me. Is that weird?
No.
Or is that okay? That's okay, right?
I think it's
right?
wonderful. And I honestly think, especially all our local restaurants, because we do hound them a lot. I mean, I like going out. It's,
yeah.
It's a treat. I cook three times a day. I want to
sure,
go out.
Sure, yeah.
They're so kind and they listen to me
and
about
I think...
how I want my food. And you can even say dry. That yeah. means no oil. And maybe in some of the restaurants you have to explain, could you cut the oil in half? Because it is hard to cook without oil at a restaurant.
Right.
Now at home, Misty, how do you
oh.
cook vegetables without oil?
Well, I've learned something recently that you taught me, and I'm so excited about it. First of all, you taught me that when I'm preparing my vegetables. So since I've met Sherry, which I think I met you in October.
I did that class at the library.
In October or was
yep,
it in September? Oh, no, it was in September. You know, if you've just joined us here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial, welcome. I'm talking with Sherry Carey Baum here, and we are just having a great conversation about vegan living and thought we might talk about evidence-based nutrition and evidence-based weight loss. We may or may not talk about that from Dr. Greger's nutritionfacts.org. In the meantime, though, I want to come back to this idea that you can go to any restaurant anywhere in the world. I mean, that is one of the questions, you know, vegans often say, well, like my friends don't go out with me anymore, or I don't get invited out anymore because people say, well, where can you eat? And the answer is I can eat anywhere. And I tell all yeah. my friends that I'm like, look, every restaurant on the planet has vegetables. Every single one
every
of them.
One of them.
Even Taco Bell has vegetables.
Yep.
But you know, Burger King got that Impossible Whopper. Again, not the healthiest choice, but if I don't want to cook sometime and I really want a burger, dang, I'm going to go get that thing because it's good.
Treat.
Yeah, and here's the really trippy thing. I had not been to that place for years,
right.
but they introduced the Impossible Whopper. I'm like, wow.
And that's good business for them. So what we're doing is we're bringing awareness, and these businesses are getting customers because they're
right.
doing Whole Foods.
Right. When you make change from the inside, I think it's easier. So as vegans and vegetarians to some degree too, but I'm not really a big believer in vegetarian living. So it's why you never really hear me talk about it because, Sherry, do you remember we both studied and we both actually
mm-hmm.
hold certificates
yes.
in plant-based nutrition from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, eCornell program. I was stunned. Absolutely blown away in that course when they started talking about casein and literally
scary.
Said that casein. So casein, my dad was like, it's called casein. And I said, well, do you call it protein or do you say protein? He said, it's protein. And I said, well, then the protein in milk is called casein, spelled the same way. Casein is the protein in cow products. I don't know if casein is in goat products or I don't know, but it's dairy.
It's dairy.
It's dairy.
It's a
product.
Dairy protein.
Yeah. They said, correct me if I'm wrong, that casein is the single most carcinogenic substance that humans eat that are eating a meat-based diet.
It's pretty scary.
It's
really
scary.
And to talk about the whole food plant-based diet, there's a really fun thing that we can realize is just because your DNA, your family might have had cancer, your mother might have had breast cancer, all of that, and you say, it's in my DNA.
Yeah, it's in my genes.
In my genes.
Right.
You can turn on that DNA or you can turn it off.
Yes.
Casein turns it on.
Yes.
A whole food plant-based diet turns it off. So you do have control over your genetics.
Exactly.
We just have given that power up to others.
Yes.
And
to
have
industries.
Well, if industry wants you to keep drinking milk and they say, well, it's not our fault that breast cancer's on the rise, or it's not our fault because it's genetic. Well, we do not have to be hostages to our DNA, period.
We do not have to be hostages. And I really appreciate that you brought that up, because I think most of us, you know, believe this. Well, diabetes runs in my family. And I would say, well, maybe the problem in your family is that no one runs.
Well, and how about your diet also runs in your family? Why do you think we eat the way we eat?
Right.
Because that's what we've been doing as a culture.
Right. I kind of laugh, you know, when there's a brand newborn baby, right? Brand new baby. Hopefully mother is nursing the baby. But when they start babies on solid foods, this is just interesting because we have a kind of a newish baby. She's not quite two yet. When it's time for solid foods, most people these days opt for these little pouches, you know.
Ugh.
I don't know if you've even seen them, but they're pouches. They're plastic pouches. It's just, the whole thing is irritating, but it is what it is. I can't change the entire world, but I can change the things that I can change, and I'm willing to do those things. So I always laugh. I'm like, isn't it interesting that we as adults all think that hamburgers, hot dogs, you know, French fries, chips, Fritos, queso, blah, blah. We all think those are healthy foods, right? We are like, oh, yeah, we get raised on that. Well, then someone explain me why the brand new baby food is pureed plums, pureed mangoes, pureed carrots, pureed, you know, beets.
Sweet.
Right. Well, but there's veggies too. There's peas. Now I'm into all that. I'm glad that, I don't like that it's being served up to the kid in a plastic pouch. But the point is, if the animal protein diet is so helpful, why aren't those first foods for babies? Baby is 6 months old. Here's a ground up Happy Meal pureed for your baby in a pouch, right? Most people would be grossed out by that. You would say, no, you're not going to put beef into a 6 month old baby. Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you grind up a grilled cheese sandwich and some French fries and put it in a pouch and give it to a six-month-old baby? Why not? Well, because it's not healthy. It's not healthy for the baby.
No.
You would probably say that, right? You would say, you wouldn't do that to a baby.
I might have to tackle the mom.
Right? Right?
The baby
might
and give
have
it
to
some
tackle
old
that
food.
Mom. But that's probably what mom is eating.
Yes.
Right. And so your whole point that these diets, you know, at some point we do introduce the baby to salami and sausage. I know, I'm grossed out by that too. And red meat and just turkey and chicken and all those things that just don't promote health.
Exactly. And it's so easy to make your own baby food. You process it, put it in, you know. So what I mean by process it is
you puree it, right?
Peas, puree it, put it in an ice cube tray,
yes.
Pop it in your freezer. And then when your baby wants dinner, lunch, whatever, you unpop one ice cube tray. So there's no glass, there's no plastic. It's good, healthy food that you've made yourself without salt, without butter, without oil. You're just giving the baby healthy food. You're saving money.
Yep.
And you're saving money on healthcare costs.
Yes.
We can't get away from that. I mean,
right.
I think Misty and I could talk probably for about 100 hours. You people would be trying to
know,
gag us.
I know, right?
But so many nice things that we can do for our family.
Yes.
By making whole food. And it's easier than we think. Everybody says, I can't do it because it's too hard of work.
It's not
hard work, and you're going to save money. You're going to save the environment. You're going to save health. So,
in fact, just as you were saying that, I realized I left something completely hanging. We were talking about...
I was hoping you'd get back to that.
Yeah. Look, you know, I'm blonde and I'm a senior. Well, I used to be blonde. I'm going gray now and I'm a senior. So I got some strikes against me, but I did remember this. Sherry taught me. She's taught me so many things in just a few short months, and I'm so incredibly thankful and appreciative.
Thank you.
But one of the things that you taught me that I so appreciate was, I said, well, I just don't know how to cook without oil. I don't even know how to do that. How do I do it? And you know what she told me? She said, well, do you use vegetables? Well, yeah, I use a lot of vegetables. She goes, well, what do you do with the scraps? Well, they usually go in my compost pile. They used to. Boom, boom, boom. I would chop stuff up and the ends and the butts and the pieces and all of those other things that weren't going into the salad or the veggies that I was steaming or whatever would go in the compost. Well, now I take all those pieces, including lettuce. I even throw lettuce in this bag. I put it all in a bag and I throw it in my freezer. And when it gets to be a big enough, like about the size of a head of lettuce, maybe a little bit bigger, I pull out that frozen bag of veggie stuff. I throw it in a pan with water and I boil it and I make veggie stock.
Yep.
And then this is the really cool part. I sent a text to Sherry recently and I'm like, so I made my veggie stock. What next? And she goes, don't stir it because it'll get cloudy.
Can't stir it.
Yeah. So I just let it sit there.
And cloudy's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing if your broth is cloudy, but everybody wants clear broth.
Yeah. So now I have all this broth. I put it into little tiny ice cube trays and I threw it in my freezer. So now when I want to make, and I told you guys last week, I made the most amazing zoodles in the world and I used Sherry's idea here to make the zoodles. So zoodles are just zucchinis that have been spiralized. So they look like noodles. They're like seriously long. So it's zucchini and a little bit of carrots and garlic and mushrooms. But I threw 2 cubes of ice cubed vegetable stock. And that's how I cook.
Yep.
I don't use oil. Although every once in a while when I do need a little bit of oil, I do use a spray oil. And I mean, because I used to just be like, oh, oil's good for you. So olive oil, avocado oil, you know, coconut oil, sesame oil.
And I watch people take the oil jar and go, bloom, bloom, bloom.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it and you go,
hundreds of calories.
Holy moly. Not because a tablespoon is 100 and something. Oh, so man. When you're glugging it in there, I want you to think about 16 tablespoons.
Oh, wow.
Right? That's 1,600 calories that you've just glugged into whatever you've done.
Yes.
It's crazy to watch. And the sprays are good, but don't get tricked. It says 0 calories on the back.
Right, it's
and
not
nobody
zero.
Nobody can spray it
a
as
half a spray.
Fast as they expect you to get 0. We all take that sprayer just like your mom used to do with hairspray.
Yep.
And then you go, no calories. I read the label.
Yeah, but not so.
Not quite.
Well, I did make tofu bacon.
Isn't that good?
It is so good.
You can air fry it instead of frying it.
Oh, I'll try
in the
that.
Oven. Yeah, on a rack.
Okay.
Just so that you're not actually adding more oil
adding
to
more
fry
oil
it.
To it.
But explain what it is.
Well, it's super easy. I use the super... thick tofu. I like the Wildwood firm tofu.
Nice.
Yeah, Nasoya also has a brand of tofu, but I sliced it super thin, like 1/8 inch thin. And I marinated it overnight in a gluten-free soy sauce with liquid smoke, a tiny bit of liquid smoke, a little bit of tomato paste, and maple syrup.
Yeah. Oh, maple syrup.
Oh my gosh. So I mixed that whole marinade up. Yeah, I cut up these 2 huge blocks of tofu. And I marinated it all night. And I literally cooked the bacon this morning. Tofu bacon, guys.
Yay.
I know you're like, what? Gross. And it wasn't like, oh, God, that tastes just like bacon. No, I wasn't trying to go for just like bacon. I was trying to go for something that I could make BLTs with.
Absolutely. Your mayo that you made.
Yes.
Your Ezekiel bread.
Yes.
Lettuce, tomato, and that. And you do not feel deprived.
I am not going to feel deprived. Yeah. In fact, you know,
you're going to feel happy.
I'm so excited because I tested this out on the kids today. You guys know I don't have kids. They're my grandkids. They call me Gaga. It's so cute. But they're twins that are 9 and then a 6-year-old. And I was like, who wants to try the tofu bacon? And they're all like, I do. And they all liked it. None of them were like, that is the best thing I ever ate in my life. But they all ate a little bit of it. And I asked them if they would like to have BLTs with that today.
Oh, good.
And they said yes. They all said yes.
See?
Yeah. And see? Gary liked it too. So, you know, there's just these strategies.
Yes.
And it's just, it's a mindset that we are growing up with, or we've been brought up with. I love what you said earlier, Sherry, that most people eat some form of animal product 3 times a day.
They do.
If not having meat, they're having meat or liquid meat 3 times a day. So it's ham, bacon, or sausage in the morning, a chicken taco for lunch, and a steak for dinner.
Throw in cheese, yogurt,
sour
milk.
Cream, yeah, butter, yeah, eggs, all those things. And what that is doing is it's causing this clogging in our bodies.
It is, and weight gain. We know that animal products increase the amount of weight that turns into fat. We know that. And constipation. I mean, we don't even want to go there. But that's why
we do want to go there. Another episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you play with your whole food, plant-based food, you make it to your taste.
Yes.
And it tastes delicious.
Yes. That's what you were saying earlier. So you find if what Sherry said earlier, and I think this is a really important concept to come back to for a second, I asked, what's the first thing you do? And you said, you find the things you love and then you make them
play
in a
them.
Way that, you know what, it's really, it's yep. you find the things you love and you find a way to make them love you back. Right.
Oh, I like
right?
that.
Right, because bacon doesn't love you back.
Oh, gosh, no. No, no. Meat doesn't help.
It doesn't love you back.
It's cruel to yourself. I mean,
right.
We know there's a direct link between cancer and diabetes and hypertension and heart attack with animal products.
We know that.
It's proven over and over. So no matter what anybody says,
right.
It's
not
proven.
Some fringe thing. That's the thing. I think in the past it used to be fringy. Like, ew, you know, you're talking about fringy stuff. Well, it's not fringy. This is science. You know, we didn't even talk about Dr. Greger today and nutritionfacts.org. It's totally okay. We totally do that every day. But I want you to go look at nutritionfacts.org. I want to encourage you to go look at the evidence-based information, the science behind healthy living. I'm a freak for this stuff because I want to live a long, healthy life. I totally want to be Dr. Spock. I want to live long and prosper. You know, not Dr. Spock. I guess it's Mr. Spock, whatever. I can do that thing with my fingers, though, you know, so live long and prosper, Mr. Spock. And I know that one of the ways to do that is through healthy eating. It's through healthy eating. It's through healthy living, clean air, moving our bodies, loving the people around us and loving our planet. This has been a really fun conversation. I'd really like to thank Sherry Carey Baum for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. This has been a lot of fun.
I'm so glad. And I'm going to invite you regularly in because I think it's fun. It's fun to rant and it's fun to talk with someone who gets it on a whole level. And I love that you're a nurse. So, you know, you bring a perspective to the table that says, I bring not only the nutrition information, but the medical perspective
Absolutely.
As well. I love it. Well, I want to thank you, our listeners here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Really appreciate that you stopped in here to spend a few minutes with us to learn a little bit about nutrition. Broadcasting out of KCIW, 100.7 FM on your radio dial and anywhere in the world on the podcast. From Brookings Harbor, Oregon, I'm your host, Misty Young. Thank you, and we'll see you again soon.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.